Hello, dear colleagues. I see the main people who are involved in security of the Office 365 came. This is 1:30, time to begin. I hope the lunch was delicious. Many people ask question whether lunch is our friend or is our enemy, because we're going to speak about our friends in the IT security and our potential enemies, the fraudsters. I would like to begin my dialogue by question. So is a lunch our friend or an enemy of ours? So what opinions do we have on this particular topic? Enemy. Yes, I have the same opinion, because very often after lunch you come to your workplace and, you know, you can't think properly, you don't want to work, and everything, you know, stops. But I hope that our security track will be interesting to you and you're not going to feel bored. And at the end of our track, we will have a set of interesting questions which are of interest to each one of you. I will try to answer some of those questions. Maybe I will ask some of you. So let's begin. Overview of the Security Central Office 365. What Microsoft tells us about the data that you place in our services. And you can see here that, first of all, we understand this data is completely yours. Complete ownership and management of this data is in your hands. We are just supporting the work of these services, and we provide security of these services operations who provide access to your data. Therefore, today we're going to speak about those tools which exist to provide this security on a physical level, on the IT systems level, on the operational system level, and those other means which are accessible to you as IT professionals to provide security of all these services operation. Well, generally speaking, all of these means can be divided into two big blocks. The first block, as I've told you before, is service level capabilities on the level of the service, and it's a set of tools or controls which are provided by the customer control section. And perhaps you are aware about them. It's the means to prevent leaks of information, managed services, management services, and data loss protection. And speaking about security on a level of service level capabilities, I've told you this is security on a physical level, on a network access control, on the application level. If you will look at the next image, if you look at the landscape of what is happening today in the industry and in the area of providing access to information, well, we see a lot of strange things. We see new messages about leaks, about break-ins, about stealing information, information theft, and simple request in the search system returns you a big number, big amounts of information, big set of links, exploits, hacks, which are applied to IT systems to acquire information in an attempt to get access to your data. How can we resist that? And how Office 365 team resist this? We look at threats and we divide them into three main types. The first one is a threat from outside. And this is a clear threat, well known, to protect the perimeter as good as possible. The second stage, and many of us forget about it, is the insider threats, or an assumption that, truthfully speaking, somebody has entered your facility or premises, and this person is not a friendly user who follows your user policies and who can be controlled and limited. And the third point. Not everybody are thinking about it. It's not that we forget about them, but we don't think about them. Our users. I don't want to say that our users are spies, but very often our users do actions which often lead to irreversible results, and sysadmins, they have to fix the system. They have to use the backup systems and restore it from those backups, this information. How does Microsoft provide security on all these three levels? First of all, as I've told you, the protection from the breach, and especially protection of the executable code, and we have developed and used the full cycle of industrial software that we've developed, which includes sections as a secure code control, which prevents all those leakages. The second option, this is a system designed when we assume that intrusion has already happened, and we have specially trained team of engineers which monitors networking activities, IT systems, and they try to guess in which of areas did this attack happen, and they trying to get rid of it. And the client functions of security controls, customer controls. We've been speaking about them. These are possibilities of prevent leaks as DLP, also a possibility of searching for all interrelated information systems and discovery, e-discovery, and also right management services. Encryption services. Let's speak in more detail about each one of those blocks. So, the security cannot be one-dimensional. Well, it's like a pie, has many dimensions to it, and each dimension prevents potential threats. Let's go to the next slide. So, physical security, the security on the level of perimeter, we have to pay attention to the fact that it's not just measures of preventing access, unauthorized access to our computational centers. In any case, these are measures of fire suppression, natural event suppression, measures of providing access to our own employees, to the computational capacities or to data centers by many multi-factor identity control, including these are also video surveillance methods, movement sensors, and presence of security services in those places where, in a 24/7 on-site security, which control the physical access to our equipment. The next level is the network security. Office 365 services, they function in the isolated part of the network, which doesn't cross over with other network layers where the private services are located, and of course this perimeter is also separated from other external networks. Well, the next level is OS and application, host application. So all Office 365 services are in constant real-time security control mode. They are being constantly updated, and new patches are being installed, and of course all these activities are being monitored. All the processes launched on those services are being monitored, and we use means like application locker, which controls and checks not only the names of the processes that have been started, but on what really happens within this process, which queries are being posted by this process. And as I've told you previously, all the applications are being developed according to security practices, which include a big block on providing secure development, a secure design, code control. So most of routine operations, which are done by the administration workers in various companies in the framework of the Office 365, most of this work is done in an automated mode, which excludes or at least reduces the probability of human factor interference. Another important factor is a model according to which access to your data can be provided to administrators A by request and B by default. Your data is not accessed by administrators of the Office 365. They can only control the workability and integrity of services, but not of your data. And as a conclusion, another important aspect, all the actions of our administrators are completely audited. And at any moment of time, you can see which actions have been done by them. Let's say a few words about administrators who support Office 365. First of all, these people are seriously checked, including background checks, screening. All the managers in the 365 Office security guys, they all are being fingerprinted, and biometrical parameters are one of the keys to get access to our server rooms. All the accounts, of course, are personified. All the accounts have limited service life, upon completion of which they are deleted. Automatic account deletion is happening, and our admins also go through training. Training from the point of view of learning the policies and how to manage services, and also from the point of view of policies of development, software development, and maintaining services on a proper level. And that's how the just-in-time access is provided to the hardware or to managing services, or if there is a need for such an access, special access. By special exceptions, they can be granted an access to your data. A special request shall be formed. This request is sent to the security department. It's been approved by the data owner, and only after all the permissions are being granted, administrator will have a right to access to the server room or to the service, or if there is a need, even to your data. Therefore, the main policy here is not to provide access by default to anybody, to anything. What about the data? What really happens with the data? From the point of view of data, and, you know, speaking about services, about operational costs, about architectural design, why we are able to hold a low cost for this particular service? Because in the framework of the same hardware capacities, we fulfill several logical copies, which helps us to reduce those costs. So by fulfilling those logical entities, we have to be confident that they are divided one from another. And Office 365 service is involved in these operations on a global level. And speaking about automatic and physical level, speaking about different clients, so we have this work in the first place. In addition to the data isolation, data is being encrypted. Every copy of client data is being encrypted, and this encryption is done in several turns, in several levels. First of all, it's a data encryption on a file system level with the help of a tool which is called BitLocker, plus each file that you download into Office 365 is being encrypted separately. And a little bit later, we will speak about OneDrive for Business. It has even more interesting encryption and data protection layers. In addition to the fact that we have to provide secure storage for data, we also have to provide secure data transfer. Therefore, our clients are outside of our perimeter, so we have to provide them with secure data delivery from your point A to point B. In order to achieve this, we use encrypted data transfer channels, SSL/LTS, CipherSuite, which provide security of data transfer, and all the interrelations with different parts of Office 365 is happening on the same level through the safe channels of data transfer. Well, a couple of words about OneDrive. Is everything all right? Is it happening on my computer or on the side of the beamer? Well, a couple of words about OneDrive. You know that today OneDrive for Business provides 1 terabyte of a disk space for every Office 365 user. It's a serious capacity that not every organization can permit themselves to have racks filled with disks, pay for the electricity to replace those disks, and to correctly dispose of them. It's a big job that is to be done. That's why I'll speak in more detail about OneDrive for Business, and it makes sense to pay attention to the fact that OneDrive as such is an interesting thing, because in my life I paid attention to the fact that we don't always understand the difference between OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, OneDrive as service, and OneDrive as an application. And I would like to stop on this in order to remove all the misunderstandings. So there is a public service which is called OneDrive. It's accessible to any person. You can get registered in a Life ID services. You can receive your personal ID, and by this you get public disk where you can store your private documents, pictures, whatever. Also, we have OneDrive application. And to this public OneDrive, you can get access from browser without installing anything on your computer. You can have more convenient application. You can install special application, and through this application, you can manage your data located on this public OneDrive. The second side is OneDrive for Business. OneDrive for Business includes OneDrive for Business services, which are an integral part of the Office 365, and OneDrive for Business application, which also is installed in your operational system and allows you to get more comfortable, more convenient management over your data in OneDrive for Business. So OneDrive for Business service, in addition to the fact that we have a level of the file system, on the level of the operational systems, we use BitLocker. Every file is uniquely encrypted with this BitLocker. Additionally, the encryption is happening by IIS algorithms, 128 to 256 bit keys. So if the file of a big size, which doesn't allow to put it into a container, it's divided into several logical parts, and then these logical files are distributed through the individual containers located in different areas of our Windows Azure, which provides support for the solution in the background mode. And of course, reversely, database information is being retrieved on account of those keys that are provided by the system of key storage. Well, you can see beautiful pictures how the bad guy who can get access to disks will not get access to your data. What else is done by Microsoft in order to improve their services or to increase the level of safety, security, fail-proofness? So we, on a regular basis, we have a wonderful event that we call kind of a military exercise, when suddenly alert happens, and this alert is not coming from Bob, but engineers who control the viability of Office 365 operations, they discover an attempt of intrusion. Attempt of intrusion can be related with certain organization of the distributed services, denial of services attack, or maybe some training, but nevertheless. These are two special teams who fight with each other. The team of red guys who attack services and the team of blue who defends this service. So at a certain area of Office 365, we do imitation of attack. And as I've told you, this attack imitation can be done from outside, from within. The blue team has to reject this attack, resist. Just to resist attack is not interesting. And blue engineers, they have to do the analysis of what happened. They do work on old data sets acquired in the process of this attack rejection, and then they form practices. They develop certain templates which are connected to the automated system so that those would automatically would inform you about potential threats which happen at the level of your service in a real-time mode. Okay, let's say a couple of words about customer security controls. What are those? It's a set of functions which is available in Office 365, which is accessible to you as IT professionals who control your subscriptions, who want to manage your subscriptions. So, what should you remember about, once again? You should remember about the fact that data has to be protected from all directions. Therefore, in order to provide more complex protection, you have to be confident that access to your data and services that you use is delivered only to those people who are authorized. And these can be done by special authentication processes. Also, you have to be confident that all devices, and in the course of the whole day, we hear that all these devices, they become more and more complex and mobile, and all those devices that try to get connected to your services, they have to be not just simply protected, but they also have all these devices they should be paid special attention about, because mobile devices are lost very quickly, very often, and data which can be lost together with this mobile device, sometimes it's a very serious potential threat. So you have to protect those devices. And the data which is stored on the side of the Office 365 site, at any moment of time, you have to receive maximum complex information about what do you really have there, what your users try to send through these services to the world around them. And in, well, I would like to speak in a little bit more detail, access, identity and access management. We'll have a separate session on this particular topic, and right now we'll tell you briefly. Because globally, we have two options of organizing access management. The first level is syncing the accounts in the Windows Office 365 under Azure from your own ID. And the second one, it's the Secure Federation organization when your Active Directory's Federation Services transfers to Office 365 information about how valid was this authentication. And the third option, as I've told you too, but there are three of them, in case if you have not deployed the ID and you have to completely control your users, in the Office 365 services, these capabilities are available through administrative console. So it's a full-scale control over users and groups within your environment. I would like to bring to your attention the following factor. In the framework of Active Directory Federation services, we additionally support multi-factor authentication. You can have additional identification methods connected, like those who use banking system, systems of confirmation of user validity by sending SMS messages. These could be some additional mobile applications that you can develop. So any option which provides multi-factor support of identification is available. Device management. Speaking about device management, it's a common situation when mobile devices, where you have corporate email set up, it's been lost. In the Office 365, we have Intune service, which allows you to be confident that device which was lost can be purged and cleaned. It can be cleaned completely from, and it's a good thing for your user. His private pictures will be deleted if he came to you with such a request. There is a possibility to selectively clean the device, and scenarios are very common ones. Your user left organization, so you have to do the selective purging of all the corporate data from his mobile device. So there is a possibility to do the selective purging to not touch his pictures, selective wipe, and walled garden. On the next slide, Office mobile tools are used for that. Office 365 Pro Plus is available for everybody except for Android, So there is a possibility to build policies in such a way that all the documents used for Office 365 will stay in a closed area from which and into which the access from other applications will not be possible. What other tools of control do exist on the side of the Office 365? Well, this, first of all, technology of encoding the documents themselves. First of all, is the write management services that we have, which is accessible immediately from Office 365, and also can be connected. Local services can be connected. Well, welcome. You can use them. You can encrypt your documents. If somebody doesn't know about that, please pay attention to the fact that encrypted document by RMS policy can be set in such a way that the document can be read from the screen. Not print screen, not printing, nothing. None of these options will work. If the document will leave the premises of your company, the document will not be opened. It will not be possible to open it, except for if you will authentify yourself. So we can say that the leakage of such documents, if it's not close to zero, but you know it's getting closer to zero. Even if the document will leak, it will not be possible to open the document. The S/MIME is being supported. We do support this technology, and you can encrypt your email by PGP. Welcome, you can do that. We love open source. Encryption of Office 365 messages and messages that you send through link and line, which are stored on the side of Unified Communications, they all are being encrypted, and there is no direct access that can be provided to anybody. And from the point of view of transportation, this is a common story. Encryption through TLS SSL, always. Well, speaking about rights control management. Rights management service. Well, in more detail, how does it work? You can see on the given slide how does it work. So the rights management service is placed in the Office 365, and of course the documents which are encrypted by RMS will be accessible to mobile clients by default immediately. If it's located in the framework of your premises, you will have to do some additional actions so that people outside of your company will be able to see those documents if you want to allow them to. Data loss prevention, leakage control, or DLP. Which are main objectives that can be solved by it, and where is it accessible in the Office 365? DLP is accessible in the framework of the change online service, So DLP services work to control of transfer your messages. This service is to identify, to follow, and to protect business critical data from being sent or distributed. How does it work? In the Office 365 services, they create fingerprints of documents or the rights, rules, which react, which are the criteria of DLP reaction for the message being sent. And what is important, these rules, they do work not only for messages or for the body of the message. These rules are working also for the attachments sent by the email. And there are several scenarios of applying those rules, starting with automatic document protection by RMS if in the body of message there was a word like salary or a credit card, and all the way to blocking the message with informing the security department to do some administrative investigations. In more detail, how does it look like? Well, this letter which is sent by user comes into Exchange Online ecosystem, which the DLP service checks for the compliance of the information being sent to certain rules. Then, of course, it follows various actions defined by you. Well, you have prevented it. And it's a story that often happens. You have prevented, but you didn't take into consideration the factor that, for example, the word investment policy also has a serious business critical character. So what can be done? Because the letter was sent already, and you have to understand how did it happen. So eDiscovery service is going to help you. The search, transparent search engine, which currently works through the SharePoint Exchange and all other services, Office 365 services. And from the point of view of mail, what is so special about it? First of all, possibilities like backupping your mailboxes on the spot. And at a given moment of time, 365 service provides unlimited archives for mail messages of your users. Therefore, the management and retention, two important aspects which allow us to evenly remote users of the messages, keep it inside of the server, and if necessary, do the service investigation to these search engines, and they will discover this message and allow you to find the employee which did wrong, to catch him and to punish him if needed. Virus protection and protection from undesirable malware. Well, at the current moment of time, we're saying that we protect you from 100% of known viruses. We constantly update our profession from undesirable mail, and we don't just work with well-known anti-spam lists, but also we develop our own logic of defining spam messages, which allows us to filter almost 98% of undesirable mail. And of course, we are constantly improving DLP technologies. And I will gladly inform you that DLP very soon will be in SharePoint. Currently, you can control on the Exchange, but very soon you will be able to control the SharePoint. So all potentially incorrect downloads towards your SharePoint online will also be blocked through policies that you will install. Compliance to requirements. We're getting close to the completion. And what does Microsoft does to be compliant to international certification bodies and to companies and their requirements to the service? Well, once again, we'd like to say that compliance to requirements can be divided into two parts, the Part number two is service level capabilities for global compliance, which include those compliances which exist on the level of services. And we have constant monitoring of services by international controlling organizations. Does service comply to the ISO 27001, HIPAA, and other? When you make contract for using services of the Office 365, Microsoft signs a service level agreement in the framework of which you are provided these services, and it also carries the financial responsibilities of providing the service level services to you. And the second part is management, customer control for compliance with internal policies, those means of administration, administrative control, DLP, e-discovery, archiving to enable organization compliance. Currently, list of certificates which are available in Office 365, the European certificates, but the most of them are certificates provided by the controlling bodies of the United States of America. The Office 365 services and the way how the control elements are being matched with those challenges which are being provided by certifying bodies of authority. I shouldn't speak too much about that because we have talked a lot about it previously. Well, what I would like to bring to your attention? I would like to bring to your attention the privacy issue. The Microsoft, as a company, as I've told you previously, divides own commercial services, which are services of Windows Live, Xbox, from Office 365 services. Office 365 services are created for the business in mind, and we in no way don't look, we don't control, we don't read in any way your information stored in your environment. So you will never see advertising in Office 365. You will always have a transparent access to these services. You will always have a possibility to use third-party encryption algorithms and placing documents and files encrypted within these particular services. And of course, we have a wide set of tools which allow you to control all the information that is being placed within these services. This is a more detailed slide about what is available today from the point of view of security provisioning in the Office 365 and what has been planned. As I've told you, we plan to deploy DLP in the SharePoint online services. We have in our roadmap to improve control console for the security service, etc. Well, what are the resources where you can read about current condition of TrustOffice365.com and all the links that you can follow to read all this additional information? Well, that's all I wanted to tell you. This is going to be the last slide in order for you to make pictures of those links. So if you have any questions, I'm ready to answer them. So I would like to give you the microphone. We'll have a question about data backup and what is available right now. The measures to delete your own data in Office. So do you have these possibilities or you have certain plans in your roadmap? Well, basically speaking, maybe you didn't hear too well about deployment of the – no, I'm speaking about the backup, so that the user of a company at any moment of time could be able to receive the information she or he sent by email. Okay, I understand you. Backup. It's your information. You can take it always, especially if we speak about a separate service that would allow you to collapse it into one file and download it about this service. Well, why am I asking about this problem? Well, you're being fired. An employee deletes all the data. The system thinks and deletes it from the local machine, and system thinks that this deletion was a valid one and passes it. But can the company restore its own data that employee has deleted, client databases and other things? Okay, I understand you. Everything depends on the service. There are policies of retention, Exchange Online Service. So whatever what user does, no matter how he deletes all these documents, you still are going to have them. Letters, documents, files, but there's also SharePoint Online Service. For example, OneDrive for Business, from which badly intended user has deleted this data before leaving the company. Well, some other schemes of data restoration from backup can work, but they are available for all the services. Yes, it's all accessible to you. You can make a request for data restoration from a backup. Well, let me walk around with the microphone. I have a question about the following. As a technical specialist, well, you have convinced me as a technical specialist that all this is good and right, and there is nothing bad about it. And we can do all these procedures, but we don't have the budget like Microsoft does. So how can we convince the security guys? For example, feel about how good your company is. Come to visit us. We're always are happy to invite all of you. And speaking about the security department managers, well, Track IT port, and well, security guys, they have to speak their own language. You don't need a lot of those. We are more IT guys here. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you about. You see that representatives of security department, they speak their own language, they have their own terminology, and they have their own thinking. So come to visit us. We do have people who speak the same language with them. We always are happy to talk to you. We're always ready to discuss with you the application practices. We're ready to discuss the approaches to deployment. We can share our experience of those companies which already use it. Doors are always open. Please come. And I have another question. A couple of years ago, I've heard a story, gossip, and it's interesting. Maybe it's not a gossip, but a true, that from the moment of deployment of Microsoft Exchange 2010, for internal needs of Microsoft company, they've made a decision to cancel tape backup for internal mail of Microsoft because they decided that they don't have to back it up on the tape. So that's the story I've heard. Can you give us a comment about this? Well, I'm going to tell you another story, and this is not a gossip. It consists of the fact that at the current moment of time, all our employees of the Microsoft company, 180,000 of us at the current moment of time, all of us use Office 365 service. We don't have, in principle, not in Russia, we don't have any infrastructure which provides the viability of our Russian office. We're constantly dependent from Office 365. So our questions of backing up on tape, on some own disks, it's absent as a class because documents, they're stored in Office 365 for business. We have separate portals for project teams, and we also have backing up on the level of services as well. Hello, I have another question. If I use personal subscription for Office 365 for house, is this confidentiality and encryption is also guaranteed, and so that Microsoft wouldn't be able to read my files and delete them? I have a question if it does contain something bad. Well, all the Office 365 services, they're subject to the same rules, and it doesn't matter whether it's for home user subscription or enterprise subscription. So from free account, you can delete my data from the free account. Data from free account. Well, this one drive that is being installed by 25 gigabytes, which are given for the home user by default. Well, it's a good question. No, we have no right for public OneDrive or OneDrive for Business, we have no right to use your files anyway. Your files are your property. But one of my files have been deleted. You know, well, about the deleted file, it's a common story. And once again, in my experience, it happens like that. I had a letter. Where is it? When you start escalating to the level of engineers and to the level of people who provide services to Office 365, very often this letter is located either in a spam folder, which was automatically moved to this, or into removed folder, or you can go even deeper, you can look at the logs. It's a question about the fact that all the users who are enterprise users, and if you have made a contract with us, Microsoft takes an obligation to provide security to all your data that is being stored. Speaking about free services, well, perhaps I would like to propose you to read the additional agreement. If I purchase a personal Office 365, this is also strictly guaranteed. Yes. Read the agreement. Well, the Office 365, the cloud one, is it certified to being used for public organizations of Russian Federation? Well, it's a good question. Let's see. If we're speaking about services, then we have a special subscription for public authorities, special subscriptions for educational facilities, special subscriptions for enterprise sector. So if we're speaking about application Office 365 Plus, which is a desktop application that you have to install on your computer to work with Office documents, well, this is some kind of a separate story. To certify this application, in order to certify, you have to take the source code, you have to take it to a certain certification body and get a certificate. So if I'm a representative of a public organization, our organization uses Office 365, it means that no third party will be able to get access to my information. Well, Microsoft will never provide information to third parties without your owner's authorization. Moreover, as I've told you previously, even if the information will be delivered, I don't know what should happen for that, but you will be the first one who will learn about that. I'm just trying to get, well, there's a lot of stories about industrial spying. Is it reality or not? Well, espionage happens everywhere. It's a reality we live in, and I'm more than confident that maybe there is somebody sitting here and spying for somebody and publishing that, well, Microsoft does this and that. Well, espionage is something, is a reality that we live in. And when I've been speaking about possible places of data loss or leakage, I paid a lot of attention to protection from within, from inside. And today, these are the most often scenario how the information leaks from the organization. That's why be alert, even with your own users. Okay, thank you very much. And my corporate information will never be delivered to a CIA without your knowledge. No data will not be delivered to third parties. Thank you. I have the following question. If, you know, do you have a security log in Office 365 through which all the successful and unsuccessful attempts of entrance into the system are being logged with the IP address and with other addresses? And is it possible to limit entrance into the Office 365 from IP addresses of a certain state, like from Russia and not China? Yeah, I understand. That's a good question. Thank you very much. You know, I cannot tell you exactly. Let's have a separate discussion about this after the track, because I just don't remember by default is the functionality like that available. But we have a wide set of applets provided by the service, and I assume that through the power shared it can be done. As I know, if you look at the exchange online, there's a possibility to see the last logon, the time of the last entrance into the system, but nothing else. I have found nothing else. Well, let's see. Because in the foundation of all the Office 365 services, we have services which are known: SharePoint Online, LinkedIn Online, Exchange Online, and Azure DevOps. So certain database from those information system is identical to the one that you use on your on-premises. So if you don't see it today, right now, in the Exchange folder, in the Exchange folder of Office 365 services, it does mean that it's not available. Maybe we didn't make an interface for it because we didn't have enough of requests for this functionality, or there's a PowerShell smartlet that will allow you to get connection to this data. I'm ready to look at it together with you. Well, thank you. Hello. I have a question about antivirus protection. Yeah. How do you provide 100% protection of personal data? Do you have some vendor or a list of plugins, specialized plugins? I feel that you want to ask me how the Office works from inside to tell you the engine. Well, I can tell you that it's a commercial secret, but you know that we have our own developments in the area of antivirus security, which also are used by us within our Office 365 services. Why do we say 100%? We say 100% from all known viruses. Known viruses. This is a key word here. Why? Because it is well known that viruses are being defined not by the name of the file executable, but by a certain signature. And currently, we know practically about all available signatures available. And I understand that our engineers are closely cooperate with international security companies, antivirus security companies. Well, the second question. If a file, a very valuable file, and suddenly it's been infected, will Microsoft delete this file or will try to fix it? I never had a case like that. Yes, of course, we try to heal it or fix it. We're not deleting it. It's your data once again. Let's speak about it once again. But every incident and every data set, for every data set, we have a certain SLA for which Microsoft is responsible. That's why you can feel confident. Thank you. Hello, I have a question about DLP and SharePoint Online. As I understand, your DLP service for SharePoint Online is not available, and do you have plans to implement it. So I would like to find out about DLP, about your DLP, and about Federal Law 152 certification. In the future, when you will introduce a DLP for SharePoint Online, will it be possible to get certified according to the Federal Law 152 in the competent bodies of authority? Well, as I know, this is back to the conversation about security department, and they speak their own language. Well, I'm closer to the technical guys, but I'm not a security service employee. But you have a close. I've been certified according to this federal law. As I remember, the IT systems have to be certified according to the Federal Law 152 on the level of 1D. But if the IT system is being certified, then, in principle, any service will not be able certified separately. Well, the fact is that if I'm being certified according to the Federal Law 152, 1G, 1D, DLP system that I use for security has to be certified from stack for the DLP system. How about that? Is it certified by stack? Well, I would like to bring to your attention for the services, the certification is not being done for services. Why? Because it's impossible to provide the source code of this service, and this service is constantly changing. Speaking about services and servers, IT systems being developed on the basis of these service applications, such as Exchange Online, SharePoint, Exchange 2013 and SharePoint, you perhaps know that Microsoft was one of the first companies which has provided source code, open source code, to the controlling bodies of authority, and we have certificates for all our products. If you will build not on the basis of these services, but on the basis of our solution, your application, then you'll be able to get certified. All certificates are available. Okay, good, thanks. That's it. Can you pass the microphone to the left side of the hall? Hello? Hello? Can you tell me, please, about OneDrive for Business? Very often we have cases when viruses are encoded as files. And as it has been previously said, can we do the rollback of the data, data restoration upon request like 2 weeks before? Well, you have a possibility in the framework of this service to use directly from that main panel request to this service to the technical department, and they can do this rollback for you. And what is the limiting deadline for this rollback? How long? Well, I need to look because I don't remember exactly. Okay, thank you. Question number two. When we choose the place of storage or data center for Office 365, can we select specific data center where the data is going to be stored or even divided? For example, we have a group of users in Japan and a group of users in Finland, and we want our data to be stored in two DCs upon a certain criteria. Well, it's a question with some peculiarity, at least the one I see. I see two distributed offices which have to provide minimal delay time. So let's put two tenants, and Microsoft will not be connected for them. Well, let's see. Tenants on one side are independent from the hardware platform and can move from one data center to another data center. But today, tenants for Russian users are placed in the EU, in the European Union. It's defined by the fact that with the European Union, we have agreement about transborder data transfer, and according to the law, we can do that. As to the fact of dividing this tenant, no, unfortunately not. But speaking about the location of the tenant placement, yes, we can speak about that. By default, according to the laws, we do it like that, but you can do it differently. You can request an addition to everything, which is also very important. And sometimes we get such requests. They say, I want to keep my own copy of Office 365 on a certain equipment, on a certain hardware. This scheme is also available. It's called Office 365 Dedicated. Your copy will be located on a specific equipment in a specific data center. You can come there and see that it's physically there. And I have another final question. On your first slides, not even your first slides, it said that service availability is 99.9 SLA. It's per month, per day. Well, it's a current condition. The assessments are being done every month. So these three nines after the comma, this is the recent one. So this is monthly. Formally, for the business, this SLA, we can say that 15 minutes a month we can have, if more, not 999, but 99994, it was last time, or 96. From month to month, it varies, and it depends from the fact that Office 365 services are constantly getting extended. And for data transfer, sometimes we do have time lapses. But we're trying to achieve four nines after the comma. So the data is being published every month. And in recent months, yes, we had 9994. And a security-related question, the final one. If you have integration with the local services of catalogs in the company and attempts of transfer the passwords, the accounts in the company, will there be blocked or not? They have to. It has to work on your side in the framework of standard services, and from how the services are being set up, that's how the whole infrastructure will behave. But considering, as it was previously asked, simply speaking, we cannot limit the devices from which this authentication might happen. Well, it's very simple. If you use ADFS, basically speaking, sorry for terminology, it's outside on your side, and nothing prohibits you from, if you look at good practices, reverse proxy, which protects ADFS, you can attach your own limitations. Well, thank you. Hello. Can you tell me, please, about the following? For example, we introduce Office, users start using it, files on OneDrive and SharePoint, these files are being shared. And then the following question, the administration services, do they have mechanism of seeing who gave what to whom body to delete garbage, copies, duplicates. So how can we look at the total massive of files in the company? Well, in any case, you have discovery service. It's a search engine which can be used for that. And for me, it's very difficult to perceive the set of actions of the administrator. What should he do in order? What does he want? Well, a typical request comes from the top management and from security department that in the sales department we have a strange manager. Can you see whom he was sharing his data with? Well, it's very simple. You enter into the corporate search center, and from one point, you can look at his relations through the exchange, through the link messages, through SharePoint. Everything is done from SharePoint. All the links, all the messages in front of you, in front of your eyes. What about files that he shared? Shared files. He provided, well, in framework of those documents that you will find, which belong to this user, yes, you will see who he was sharing those documents with. Okay, that's clear. Good. Thank you. Another question then. It's a technical one. Do you have a description somewhere of which OneDrive architecture and SharePoint architecture is being used? Because many people, they might have both SharePoints and OneDrives, and honestly speaking, what principle this data is being distributed between OneDrive and SharePoint, it's not really transparent. Where can we read about this technical information? Well, do you have any manuals? SharePoint 2013, these manuals are available, but in a couple of words, answering your question is that if you've been working with previous versions of SharePoint, like 2010, you remember there was My Sites, same thing in framework of My Sites. We also had Pure Personal Document Library, PDL. So this PDL from the private node, basically speaking, was renamed and an additional API was produced through which you can get access to this library through the software approach. So the discussion, what is OneDrive by the concept for the local installation of SharePoint 2000, it's the same documents on private sites, just with the API. Well, I have noted for myself, sometimes I don't really understand when they give access to some catalog to a group of employees. They can see them in SharePoint. Some of them can have it in OneDrive. And I would like to figure that for myself. Where is what and what is where? Technical document library. I don't understand where it why it appears in some other places. That's why I would like to read about it. Okay, thank you. That's enough. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry, I have the final question for myself. Well, we have a lot of employees and are used to current interface, Outlook and access provided by the Office 365. Can we keep it as it is without moving to new interfaces? For example, we don't want to retrain our employees, so is it possible? Well, good question. Let's see. It's the same thinking as upgrading all your mobile devices from all well-known manufacturers. These can be looked as maybe deficiency, or maybe these can be looked at as advantages. I understand your doubts. I remember this transfer from 2003 to 2007. I still remember many are hiccuping after this transition, but nevertheless, let's say, we don't give such a possibility. We do as much as possible to make it within the same concept, within the same paradigm. And today we are more seriously developing a concept of finger control. But if you paid attention, we still keep a possibility in the Office application to switch between fingers and mouse. And the recent preview of the year 2010 tells us that we have reviewed some interface capabilities because we listen to our users and we hear them, but you still will get new product. Microphone. Another question. Maybe I didn't hear it, but about SMTP servers. What is the deadline? How long the files are stored and which FTP plans? Well, this is back to the question about not successful entries into the account. From the admin interface on the web, I didn't see that. Therefore, potentially, they should be there. I will explain you. Through partial, you can pull them out, but some partial commands are not available in 365. They are blocked. That's why I'm trying to figure it out whether this command stayed or not. Well, I will give you my business card. I will collect the full scope of questions because these are interesting questions, important questions, and I'm ready to answer them. I have another small question. Do I properly understand that in Russia we don't have Microsoft data center for Office Cloud? And if not, do you have any plans to deploy it or not? At the given moment of time, Office 365 data center is not available in Russia. As for our strategic plans, you can hear it from our official press releases. Unfortunately, I cannot speak about this particular topic. I understand what this question is related to, and we all know what this question is all about. But I would like to bring to your attention the fact that probably nobody's able to do it within the deadline. SAP came and they said, well, we're here. And they said, well, can you open us the source code? Then it's going to be wonderful. Not all, and nobody is able to. That's why the law is jumping from this side to another side. I cannot give any comments to this law, and I cannot speak about the strategic decisions that can be made by the company. I didn't hear the question. Well, at the given moment of time, if you just invest several billions of dollars into the economy of the country, this would be wonderful, and I'm one of those people who likes that, but we'll see what will happen. Any more questions? Can you pass the microphone to that side? Okay. Thank you. Once again, I would like to speak about logs, SMTP, and when the Office 365 was introduced, Exchange Online was 2010, right? Not 13. And back there, one could go to the admin of the forefront spam filters. Do you still have this possibility in 2013? Well, currently, it is not seen in admin interface because in that particular interface, you could see all the history of sending letters, receiving letters. Well, I think this is as a continuation of the discussion that I'm ready to collect some additional information and possibly maybe I can tell you something about the roadmap of development, how this will be developed in the future, these particular tools. Okay, good, thanks. Well then, thank you very much. Thanks for being here with us. Thanks for not sleeping. Thanks for being active. Wish you a good day.